The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say, we know that this virus is in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Yeah. 81 million votes. There's your most popular president in the history of the United States of America. That's the carefully staged CNN town hall last night where you had Don Lemon just lofting one softball after another, even the questions coming from the crowd. And the crowd, by the way, if you saw the picture of this venue, this town hall, look at how many empty seats. It was Sam who said we get bigger crowds for Celtic Throne. This is the supposed to be the 46th president of the United States who got 81 million votes last November. They can't even fill up a small venue for his so-called town hall. But it's all just for the cameras, as we well know. CNN's attempt to prop up the puppet, to give him some form of legitimacy. We saw last week just how angry Joe Biden got when talking about his legitimacy. He knows he's illegitimate. Those around him know this. CNN knows this. And yet there they are, just heaping praise on one another. They couldn't outdo each other. Joe Biden saying how great Don Lemon was and vice versa. We'll get to more of that as we proceed. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. I want to thank the guest hosts who subbed in the last couple of days. We had Richard Palmer from our Ed Stone office across the pond, and then Andrew Locher also subbing in at a last-minute notice. So we appreciate their efforts to keep things rolling while we continue through the busy finish of our summer educational program. This morning we had a very special event. My father taking the forum for the young people, speaking to them for about 45 minutes. So that has happened now 2 years in a row. Hopefully it becomes a well-established tradition for the end of camp as the young people get to hear from the Philadelphia Church of God's Pastor General, a very special occasion. Indeed. Well, coming back to this town hall, actually this next clip that I'll play for you, this was from earlier in the week where you have the fake president out there trying to convince you that the economy has just been fantastic. Listen to what Joe Biden said on Monday, clip two.
We also know that as our economy has come roaring back, we've seen some price increases. Some folks have raised worries that this could be a sign of persistent inflation. But that's not our view. Our experts believe, and the data shows, that most of the price increases we've seen were expected and expected to be temporary.
Yeah, the economy, it's roaring back, and just a few price increases. That's just going to be temporary. Everything's great. We've heard this before, have we not? Everything's perfect. Even as inflation is just skyrocketing. Price increases right across the board. And there he is. There he is saying that before January 20th, the economy was really bad. And now it's great. Now it's just perfect. This is a piece from Issues and Insights. It says, as TV screens show, this is from Monday, keep in mind, as TV screens showed the Dow Jones tumbling on inflation and renewed COVID fears, President Joe Biden took to the podium Monday to brag about how great the economy is doing and why he deserves all the credit. You can't make this up. It's just doing great, and he deserves the credit. It quotes him as saying, it's true that the economy was sputtering, before I got here, and as this article brings out, that's provably false. Provably false. And yet he says it. He said this: we've gone from 60,000 jobs per month to more than 600,000 jobs per month since I took office. Another misleading statement. And then he made this boast: look, we've brought this economy back from the brink, which is yet another bald-faced lie, as this article brings out. It says here, Biden's intent with his remarks is to argue that his $1.9 trillion rescue bill saved the economy, and the even bigger spending bills he wants Congress to pass will keep it going. No one should believe a word of it. So there he is, out bragging about the economy, even as we're seeing inflation like we haven't seen in decades. This is returning to the town hall last night. He, as you would imagine, had a lot to say about the pandemic, the vaccinations, of course, how everyone needs to get the vaccine. And then he assured Americans that if they get it, they're not going to get COVID. And I'll read a few reports to you here in just a second, but play clip 11 first.
The various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah. You're not going to get COVID if you have the jab, if you've gotten the jab. And then there was Don Lemon in the background saying, yeah, that's right. That's right. And yet he's got members of his own staff who have COVID-19, I guess the latest variant, Delta, whatever, and they've been vaccinated. You had those Democrats who refused to stay in town in Texas. They headed out to D.C. They were all on the plane, the bus and the plane together. They had all been vaccinated. And we now know, what, 6 or 7 of them have COVID-19? They got the vaccine and they got the disease. And people in the White House even. And there he is saying, if you get the vaccine, then you're not going to get the disease. Just a blatant lie. It's certainly not based in the science of it, is it? Peter Ducey, he had this exchange with the lead propagandist in the White House, Jen Psaki, and he asked about these Democrats. You know, they're all huddled together. They're not wearing masks. Now, they had been vaccinated, but what do you have to say for these Democrats that are now COVID positives? They got the disease. What happened? This is clip 6.
More than 10% of the traveling party with these Texas Democrats now claim to have a breakthrough case. Is there any concern that this trip that was intended to advocate for voting rights is now a super spreader event in Washington?
Well, I would say that's not a characterization we're making from here. We certainly understand there will be breakthrough cases.
Now that COVID-19, after contact with those Democrats, has reached the White House, what is your message to these Texas Democrats?
Our message continues to be, thanks for standing up for voting rights.
That's our message. Hey, way to go! You all were huddled together in the plane and then got COVID, but that's okay. I mean, you're doing it for a good cause. As long as you're burning down cities or arguing for so-called voting rights, COVID, masks, nothing in the pandemic really should get in the way of that. Nothing. And yet as soon as there's the opposition party coming together for anything, Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearing or the White House, the speech she gave out on the White House lawn, all of those things, very, very dangerous. Those are very, very dangerous as far as Jen Psaki's concerned, the propagandists in the media. And yet here are these hypocrites. They won't even carry out the will of the people in the case of the Texas state legislature. They head off to Washington, D.C. for this big event. And now COVID is spreading among all these people that have gotten the vaccine. Listen to this from the Times of Israel. This was a study that happened recently in Israel. Israeli study claims major drop in vaccine protection. Now, keep in mind what Joe Biden just said in that clip I gave to you. If you get the vaccine, you won't get the disease. It says here, vaccine effectiveness in preventing serious COVID-19 infection among the elderly has fallen to 50% Now, I'm totally leaving aside the side effects, which includes even death. But this is the vaccine not even protecting you from COVID-19. 50%? That doesn't seem like a very strong percentage. It says here, according to new Israeli figures, but some prominent experts are saying the data shouldn't be taken seriously. So the experts, they don't agree with these statistics, with these facts. The scientists, let's presume they're scientists. There's some kinds of experts. And they say, now, don't believe the vaccine is only about 50% accurate, or the vaccine is only about 50% as far as preventing the disease. Just ignore those statistics. The article here says the Pfizer biotech coronavirus vaccines were wowing Israelis with sky-high effectiveness rates until the rise of the Delta variant. But according to the data, to data recently raised at a top-level health ministry meeting, the immunization's effectiveness in preventing serious illness is now at 80% for the general population and 50% for the elderly. So it's even lower for the elderly, and of course that's the vulnerable group. It says here, Israel's National Research Body for Epidemiology, the Gertner Institute, conducted the research. So there's some experts that conducted this research, but then you've got the other experts that say, no, don't believe it. The vaccine is perfect. It's got a perfect record. It says Dr. Devir Aron, an expert in health statistics from Technion, Israel Institute of Technology, said he's concerned the health ministry is using bad research and allowing it to be presented without context. And then it quotes this guy, the problems aren't with the vaccine, they are with the data, he said, branding as false the conclusions in the latest data and other research on how well the vaccine prevents infection. So, I mean, it can't be that the vaccine is ineffective. We've already established that it's perfect. So that's the premise of all the so-called science. The vaccine is perfect. Unless Donald Trump is still in office, then you can't trust the vaccine. But now that he's gone, now that you've got all the Faucis in place, now that you've got the communist government in place, it's perfect. Everyone must get it. It says here, the research process skews the results to make the vaccine seem less effective than it is, says this doctor. And then notice what it says in the very next sentence. Health Ministry data released in early July said the vaccine's effectiveness in preventing infection, which was over 90% pre-Delta, is now at 64%. So the vaccine, it doesn't even do that great of a job in preventing the disease. Then you add to this all the side effects. The VAERS website here in the United States quietly upping its deaths as a result of the vaccine to more than 12,000. Yeah, last week it was around 6,000. 12,000 deaths? How many of them are young people? How many of them have no other diseases, comorbidities? 12,000, they should be sounding the alarm on this, the experts. Instead, they just continue to lie. I think Andrew Locher played this exchange for you yesterday. It's just too good for me to pass up. This is Rand Paul confronting Dr. Fauci about the funding that he provided this Wuhan lab. And I suppose it continues. I don't think the lab is shut down at all. What has the United States done to hold China responsible, to hold the communists responsible in Wuhan? What does the CCP have on Joe Biden? They go after the Republicans, and that came through, by the way. It's easy to laugh off this fake town hall, but you're getting people standing up asking questions. Look, why even bother with bipartisanship? Just ram your policies through, says one concerned citizen in the audience. All of it just perfectly staged. Why even bother with the Republicans? The goal is to try to blot out the opposition party. And there's CNN, really a communist network through and through. doing everything that it can to prop up the illegitimate presidency of Joe Biden. This is, I won't even get into this. Let me just play this exchange again from I guess it was Tuesday. So this is Rand Paul, Senator Paul, confronting Dr. Fauci, clip 9.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a 5-year penalty for lying to Congress. Knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain-of-function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly, and I want to say that officially.
This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Let me finish.
We don't know.
Wait a minute.
It did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating. It is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
You can't
get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth.
Senator,
you are the one.
Time has expired, but I will allow the witness to...
Let me just finish. Those viruses are molecularly impossible to result in SARS-CoV-2.
Caused the pandemic.
Senator Paul, we're saying
they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you imply, and you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
There you go. That's his response. You're the liar. You funded it. Of course, he is doing a dance. He funded it. He was caught. It's in the emails. It amounted to millions and millions of dollars. They were playing around with the virus in the lab. And made it more potent, more deadly. And then that's what spread right around the world. You know what's amazing about this hearing that went on a couple days ago is really Rand Paul, and he's got 6 minutes. He was the only one, really. Maybe there was one other that got a little bit testy with the good doctor. But what's shocking to me is that nearly every other senator just carries on with all of the fake news, with all of the fake scholarship, the fake expertise. He cannot be questioned. Do you want to retract anything that you said on May 11th? No, absolutely not. I never lie. I would never lie to you or to Congress. That's exactly what he did. They get away with it, though. They know that the DOJ is not going to come beating down their door. So they can lie. They can lie to Congress, and they can come up in 2 weeks and say something different. No problem. What about the facts, though? What about the science? And there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal. The flimsy evidence behind the CDC's push to vaccinate children. And I won't get into that point so much other than there's another point made in this article about how a lot of nations are now revising their COVID death stats because so many people who died were dying anyway. It says here, meanwhile, we've already seen inflated COVID death numbers in the U.S. revised downward. Last month, Alameda County, California, reduced its COVID death toll by 25% after state public health officials insisted that deaths be attributed to COVID only if the virus was a direct or contributing factor. Further on, it says authorities should also consider whether a single vaccine dose is a safer option for healthy kids. It says researchers at Tel Aviv University reported that a single dose of the Pfizer vaccine was 100% effective against infection in kids 12 to 15. So they're suggesting that one jab as opposed to two. It says not only has the CDC refused to examine the possibility of a one-dose regimen for minors, Harvard epidemiologist Martin Kulldorff told me he was kicked off the advisory committee working group on COVID vaccine safety after he expressed a dissenting opinion. You can't even dissent. You can't even express a different opinion or you get blotted out. It says here, it took until March 2021 for the CDC to report that 78% of COVID hospitalizations were among overweight or obese patients. You couldn't even get to the truth of that until March of this year. And so, again, they quietly begin to revise some of the statistics. They quietly add to the death toll on the VAERS site. 12,000 that have now died as a result of a direct result of the vaccine. 12,000 that we know of. That those are just the reported cases. Rand Paul went on Fox News that night, Tuesday night, following the hearing. And here's what he said to, I think this was to Sean Hannity, clip 5.
You kicked off your questioning of Dr. Fauci, emphasizing federal law makes lying to Congress a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Is it your belief, based on the evidence, Senator, that he lied before Congress and broke the law?
Yes, and I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal referral because he has lied to Congress.
And I'm sure the Department of Justice will put that right in file 13. It'll bury it. But good for Senator Paul for at least taking some action, doing what he can do. But where are the others? Who's there holding Fauci and his group responsible? Or even the communists in Wuhan. Victor Davis Hanson had a great piece here this week on America's descent into madness. He's just talking about how dramatic the change has been for the worse in the United States just in the last 6-8 months. He says, in the last 6 months, we've seen absurdities never quite witnessed in modern America. I mean, we're just seeing things that we never have seen. Never! It says here, yet the issue is not illegal immigration. He's talking about exposing the agenda behind the Democrats and the fact that they want wide open borders. Except with respect to Cuba. Notice this. It says, yet the issue is not illegal immigration per se. If protests were to continue in Cuba and 1 million Cubans boated to Miami, the Biden administration would stop the influx in terror that so many anti-communists might tip Florida red forever. In other words, it's all political. If we can get some future Democrats coming up through Central America, well, then open the gates. Let them all in. But those fleeing a communist dictatorship in Cuba and landing in Florida, well, they may vote very differently. So let's keep them out. Let's do all that we can to prop up the communist regime in Cuba as well. It says here, after opening the U.S. southern border to pseudo-political refugees, the Biden administration is terrified that thousands of real ones might come to Miami in the fashion it invited millions to storm into Texas. The Biden administration and the left in general finally revealed what many of us have known. It had no real ideological view on illegal immigration. Its immigration policy was entirely utilitarian and hinged only on whether illegal immigration altered the demography of the electorate in the correct way. Further on in his piece, he concludes with this. America went from the freest country in the world in December 2019 to a repressive and frightening place by July 2021. It says it went not so much hard left as stark raving mad. That abrupt descent, too, is not workable, and millions will collectively decide they have no choice but to push back and conclude, in the 233rd year of our republic, we tens of millions are not going to cede freedom of thought and expression to thousands of Maoists. Sorry, no can do. So that's Victor Davis Hanson, sounding like he's drawing a line in the sand. How much longer? How much longer will ordinary Americans put up with this erosion of all these liberties that we enjoyed for hundreds of years? Look at the dramatic change just in the last 6 months or so. We've been getting a few updates from Australia, some of the stats there with respect to new cases, and it never ceases to amaze me just how little it takes in the form of infections to just shut down an entire state, to shut down the entire country. Three people have been tested positive for COVID in South Australia. And because of that, three people, they're at level four restrictions for the rest of this week. This is from Chris Eames at our Edstone office. That means for 1.8 million people, all non-essential retail stores are closed. Gyms are closed. No indoor dining at restaurants. Gatherings are limited to 10 people. Mask wearing is required indoors. Sports events, art events, and festivals all canceled. That's for three people that have come down with the infection. And this is the way Australia responds. This is the way they respond in South Australia. Listen to this leader. I think she comes from New South Wales. And listen to her talk about the restrictions that they got to put in place because of infections. This is clip three.
It is in human nature to engage in conversation with others, to be friendly. Unfortunately, this is not the time to do that. So even if you run into your next door neighbour in the shopping centre, in the Coles, while you're at Coles or Woolworths or Aldi or any other grocery shop, don't start up a conversation. Now is the time for minimising your interactions with others. Even if you've got a mask, do not think that affords total protection. We want to be absolutely sure that as we go about our daily lives, we do not come into contact with anyone else that would pose a risk.
15 days to stop the spread. Here we are, working our way now to the back half of 2021, and still, because of what, 3, 4, 5, 6 infections? Millions, tens of millions, if you add it all up. I know it's in our nature to try to be friendly with one another, but don't do it. Don't be friendly. Avoid each other. Lockdown. How many days? Doesn't matter. 500, 600, 700 days? Whatever it takes. I mean, we've got three people with COVID. Listen to Alan Jones. He's at Sky News Australia. And here's his take on the madness that continues in Australia. Clip four.
The New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, won the gold medal yesterday when she argued, listen to this.
People who are quite healthy in the morning could be on a ventilator by the evening.
Are you kidding? Could be on a ventilator. I think they need medication, these people. They're out of control. Well, today she did even better. People can't live freely and safely until the outbreak is quashed. Listen to this.
We won't be able to live freely and safely unless we're able to quash this current outbreak.
So you are, cop it. You're no longer free or safe, according to this juvenile edict.
Some of our favourite commentary comes from him, down under. Madness. Madness. New South Wales, that's the most populous state in Australia, 8.2 million people. They've got 110 reported cases of COVID-19. And so the lockdown's in place. It's indefinite as far as the length is concerned. on and on it goes. The madness continues. When we come back, we'll continue with a study that I had a couple of days ago as we talked about the summer educational programs and just how important it is to teach our young people to rule their own spirit. Well, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday, not yesterday, two, 3 days ago, I guess I've had subs the last couple of programs, so it would have been on Monday, and I referred to the proverb, Proverbs 25 and verse 28, where it says, "He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." If you can't rule your own spirit, well, you've got no protection. You've got no protection against enemies, and there's lots of them out there. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour our young people. And so we've got to be able to rule our own spirit. I gave you this quote on Monday from Herbert Armstrong about true character, godly character, and how that in that definition he said it obviously involves self-discipline. And it's self-discipline working in two directions, as he said. Number one, he said self-restraint to resist the lower impulses and the pulls in human nature, to restrain the self from desires, impulses, habits, or customs which are contrary to the right way. And then number two, it involves self-propulsion or determined initiative to drive the self to do those things which ought to be done. In other words, in true character, in action, there is the positive and the negative. See, the self-discipline, the self-restraint to resist against those evil impulses. Satan's just bombarding us with his attitudes and moods. And then, of course, the self-propulsion to go the right way, to go forward with Christ, to not neglect, as it says in Hebrews 2, the things that we should be doing. My father this morning was talking to the campers about just getting into their Bible study deeply enough so that you can explain it, so that you can teach it to someone else. That's why God has us here in his church. We're in training to be able to teach the whole world God's truth. And we want to be able to know it so well that we can just explain it and clearly with detail, with specificity, with inspiration, with intensity. My father brought this out this morning. He used the example of Abraham Lincoln. And Lincoln, when he was a boy, he would overhear these conversations coming from the adults out in the living room. And he used to listen in. And if there was anything about those conversations that didn't make sense, or if it wasn't clear, he would work, even as a young boy, even as a young man, to try to bottom out the conversation so that he could explain it with clarity and depth as well. Lincoln, of course, was a master communicator. He was an expert. He was an expert in the way he communicated truth. He did it clearly. This is from an article Mr. Armstrong wrote in July 1983. It says, most youngsters were not taught self-discipline. This is Herbert Armstrong writing back in the 1980s about how young people can tend to be undisciplined. It says here, they were not trained in self-control. The greatest handicap to the younger people today is their utter disregard for self-control. They've been permitted to grow up following desire instead of duty, given rein to impulse and inclination instead of using judgment. They have formed the disastrous habit of being led and controlled by their whims, their passions, their fancies. It says, finally, consequences are seldom weighed or considered, and still less seldom heeded. The question isn't should I, but do I want to? It's all that matters today for so many is, hey, if I want to do it, then I should be able to do it. Where consequences, he says, are seldom weighed or considered. So that's why you get even grown men like Dr. Fauci just getting up there in front of Congress and lying, and then he's not held to account because of it. And you get one senator who maybe spends six minutes really confronting him as he should be confronted. What will happen? What will the DOJ do with the referral? The criminal referral. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here again, Mr. Armstrong wrote, there is no control of self. This is what he said about the younger generation back before he died, back in the 1980s. It says, when power is uncontrolled, listen to this point, when power is uncontrolled, then the greater the power, the greater the potential danger. That's really what the radical left wants. Uncontrolled power. And we ought to realize how dangerous this is. I mean, you get people, and again, it's all staged, but they're getting up and saying, hey, Mr. Biden, why even work with the other side? Let's just get rid of the filibuster and ram it through. Dictators love that kind of talk. They love it. And that's why they secretly support communist regimes down in Cuba and elsewhere. Because that's what they are in their hearts, their heart of hearts. They're committed communists. And they just want to impose their will on the rest. It's amazing to me. I forget what the quote was, but it was somebody that says, you know, it's a conservative. We need to move on. We can't relitigate what happened on November 3rd. But it was a great summarization of all the attacks on Donald Trump, of all the attacks on Trump supporters that's gone on for years, 5 years. They did this. There was the sham impeachment. There was this, and this. And I wrote off to the margin after reading the summary paragraph, oh, and they wouldn't try to steal the election? These communists that have done everything in their power to destroy opposition, to destroy someone they hate and despise. And then we're supposed to believe that the election, that November 3rd was perfect. It's all part of the same game plan. Of course they stole it. Of course they cheated. That's what they want. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 3. Paul's describing the last days. He says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, it says without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Incontinent, they lack self-control. It means they're just powerless. They cannot rule their own spirit. That's the way of this world. And of course, it's not just the lack of self-discipline. It's a lot of other things too. lovers of their own selves. Verse 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Does that not describe our society today? Our world today? Look over at Hebrews 5. My father alluded to this section of Scripture in his forum this morning with the young people. Hebrews 5, and starting in verse 12, it says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So here are people, Paul is addressing, that they didn't get deeply enough into their Bible study. And Paul says, look, you ought to be further along. You've been around for this many years. There should be some real depth to your understanding. You should know it well enough to be able to explain it, to be able to teach it. For when you ought to be teachers, you need someone now to take you back through the first principles. Verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat. Notice this. This is verse 14. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, God wants us to be able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. He wants us to have the discipline to resist against those evil pulls and to propel yourself forward to do what you ought to do what he commands that we do. This is a quote from The Missing Dimension in Sex. Mr. Armstrong says here, God even tells us in his word that our senses should be exercised by use so that we can distinguish good from evil. It says our senses were put within our bodies to be used, but not misused. And then he talks about, you know, God created food, but you can obviously eat bad food and become very unhealthy. So God wants us to eat, to live, to build health, strength, vitality, energy. The young people have heard a lot about that at this camp. We've talked to them about how it's really, the proverb talks about their glory being their physical strength, their energy, their vitality. That's a great service and support in the family of God. Young people who have a right spiritual orientation, young people who are dining on strong meat, what a valuable service they provide for the work, God's work. Notice again in 2 Timothy 3, and verse 16, I'll read these two verses from the Moffat translation. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, it says, for reproof, for amendment, and for moral discipline, to make the man of God proficient and to equip him for good work of every kind. You see, we're in training, and God's word is the foundation of all knowledge. That's what the Bible is, and if you're building on that foundation, well, you're going to be one who has the moral discipline, the self-control needed to really serve God, to serve in the work. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, amendment, for moral discipline. God tells us, do this, don't do this. It's all through the Bible. And he says, if you obey his commands, then you'll be blessed. You'll have a long life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice verse 7, it says, for God has, well, let me just read the verse before that. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. And it says this, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. And then verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. A self-disciplined mind. A balanced mind. God gives us that. And we need to ask for more of that power and for more of that strength. The strength to resist against the pulls of the flesh. And the discipline and the drive to go forward with Christ. To go forward with God. To seek God's Spirit. To seek God's power. This is Isaiah 55 in verse 1. My father's made a comment before. He said, if you're not fighting this war offensively, you're not going to be a great leader. We've really got to go on the offensive. I gave a message over the weekend about fighting for the truth. I think I alluded to that on Monday's show as well. It's not enough just to have it. It's like my father was saying this morning. We've got to know it well enough to be able to teach it and to explain it. And we've got to love it enough to be able to defend it and even fight for it. Isaiah 55, 1, it says, ho, let everyone that thirsts come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come you, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Just really have a hunger, like Jesus said in Matthew 5, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if we have that kind of hunger and thirst, God will fill that void in our minds, in our hearts. Verse 2 says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, it says, and eat what is good and delight yourself in fatness. It says in verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God's just pleading here. He's pleading with us to recognize this source of power and wealth, this source of strength, this source of discipline. Verse 4 says, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. David, I mean, he's one outstanding example of someone who really did develop discipline. He learned how to rule his spirit, and he learned a lot of it when he was out in the fields all by himself. I mean, that takes some drive to rule your spirit well, even when no one else is around watching. You can read the scriptures relating to his life as a shepherd, his preparation for his kingship. And you can see how seriously he took his responsibilities to protect those sheep, to fight for Israel. This is from Biblical Manhood. It says, we don't tend to think of ourselves as officials, authorities, representatives, commissioned officers, captains in day-to-day matters. How many of us woke up today and thought, I'm the commanding officer? But see, we are, aren't we? We're rulers. And it starts with ruling our own spirit well. That's what we teach our young people, and not just at camp. This is what we teach at the academy. This is what we teach at college. Look, your future rule in God's kingdom, it starts today. It starts now with your ability, with God's help, to rule your own spirit well. And then you want to go on and, well, if you're a young man and you're courting a woman for marriage, you want to be able to rule in the family. You want to be able to do it well, the Bible says. You want to be able to follow the example of Jesus Christ. God is training us. God is preparing us to teach the whole world. And listen, this world needs to be taught a lot. It needs God's instruction. It needs you as the future leaders of tomorrow. My father went through that verse in 1 Peter 3 about always being ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. Just really springing forward with a response. If someone asks, if someone inquires, what is it about this hope you have? You seem so hope-filled. You seem so joyous and positive and optimistic. Why is that? Well, we want to be ready to give an answer when someone asks us about who we are, who we represent. Verse 5, it says, "Behold, you shall call a nation that you know not, and nations that knew not you shall run unto you, because the Eternal your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." See, soon nations, in fact, are going to be knocking down our door, seeking answers to life's most basic questions. We're going to be ruling alongside Jesus Christ. Verse 6, it says, "Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late to start getting serious about God's truth. Don't wait until it's too late to respond to God's call. God, as I say, he's pleading with us. He's trying to get us to act on this precious truth in the New Throne of David book. My father writes, "The throne of David is all about saving all of humanity. We have to keep this great hope in our minds. This is what we're here to do." And then he goes on and talks about how that God is expecting more of us. You can find that quote on page 36. It's a wonderful quote that I've referred to so often. Because God expects more of us, as you can see there from that subtitle. And that's really been a theme of this summer educational program. We've referred our young people to William Danforth's book, I Dare You. And basically, this is not a church publication of ours, but it's a great little inspirational that basically is just an author challenging you to do more. Challenging you to be stronger, to be better with time management, to be more productive, to develop your personality, to build character. God expects more, just like it says on page 36 of the New Throne of David. He's expecting more of us. A couple more verses here. Notice this in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." So there's spiritual warfare going on. And we're going to have to be strong, morally disciplined, temperate, self-controlled. Verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And then it says in verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every single thought. Now that's some self-discipline. That's some self-control. Every single thought, bring it into the captivity of Christ. Let God guide your thoughts. Let Jesus Christ fill you with inspiration and power, that sound mind, that disciplined mind, and focus even on the things of God. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, we've gone through that before in a study. To really set our minds, our affections, on the things above. That's really where the discipline, the self-discipline, the ruling your own spirit, that's where it starts. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. That's the email address. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.